Welcome to Charlie Mack's podcast, episode 1. In this episode, I'll be analysing a collection, Uncle Iroh and his Top 15 Words of Wisdom. This features Cameron Livingstone, who showed me to the video and gave me the idea to do this.
Advice and great tea.
The key to both is proper aging.
So to give proper advice and to make good tea, the key to both is proper aging. Is that what you said? Yeah, aging.
That was
okay.
What he said.
So everyone's gonna grow up or grow old. Everyone's gonna grow old regardless of what happens. However, how people grow up and who they become is based on their life experiences. So you could take someone who has the same experiences in 20 years as someone does in 80. It's not the time, it's the person. So as you go on through life, what you experience and how you react to it and what you learn, and the more you do in life, because it's not just about, you're obviously all going to go through different things. So when you do go through different things, it's how you react to that. Because if you stay inside and sheltered all day and you don't really go out and experience the world, you're not going to have much experiences. You're not going to be streetwise. You're not going to know how to talk to a variety of people. You're not going to know how to present yourself in a way that, you know, people are going to sort of want to talk to you because you've never been in that situation. So if you take someone who does that or is very... who doesn't have those kind of skills and doesn't go out enough to gain life experiences to then learn from, compared to this person of the same age, but goes out and goes through life's experiences. You don't need to be someone who's really sociable or an extrovert or these kind of things. You just need to have experiences of some sort to go through and learn from. So the person who goes out and socializes and does all these kind of things, or even, you don't even need to go and socialize, you know, you can go out for a walk around the village, city, town or whatever, and you'll see people, you'll notice things and you'll see things that you wouldn't see if you just stayed inside. But those two people would become very different people because the person who went outside and saw things is an observer and has been a part of something bigger. So when you go through life experiences and you learn from things, you've got to take things as lesson. You can't, when things go wrong or things go right, you can't just take it as, you know, it's one of those things that life throws at you and just carry on. You know, what can you learn from each thing you go through? So again, you know, you get some people who are 10, 20 years older than you, but they might not know as much as you just because of either they haven't experienced what you have or they haven't learned. They haven't taken the opportunity to learn. I find that quite interesting. I only realised that recently when I had a conversation with someone. I had a conversation with two different people, and they were quite different in age, but the younger one seemed to have a lot more knowledge than the other one. And I don't know their background in great detail, but it clearly indicates that the person who knew more has really paid attention and used their head to learn, get the experience and sort of go through life like that. Whereas the other person hasn't done that to an extent that helps them knowledge-wise to progress in a certain area. Or in a general area, because it's not one thing that sort of, you know, someone's lacking. But it's like, it's very interesting when you have these conversations, when you really learn what people know and what they don't know. Whether it's small, it doesn't need to be a small or big thing. It doesn't need to be sort of life-changing. It's just sort of impactful enough that you can notice the difference. And I guess when you break it down more, it's not sort of, because when you take the social situation, you know, sometimes people don't know how to talk to someone, other people do know how to talk. So that's when it becomes obvious. When it's a small thing, but there are lots of small things that account to a bigger thing, that's when it's harder to notice. Because as long as they've grown up and they're not a child anymore and they don't act like a child, you don't really think much of it. You know, everyone's their own individual being, and you don't really think about what someone knows or doesn't because it's not important to you per se. Like, you know, when you're early 20s, late teens, and you do things, and you don't, imagine you're living at home, you slob around, you don't really have a job, and you don't have great social skills. You can't really think properly for yourself. People think, well, they're a really young adult, that's fine. They've got all the time in the world to really sort themselves out and, go forth and do things. The excuses then are more acceptable. They've got the time to sort it out. You take the same person in the same situation 10, yeah, even 10 years later or 15 years later, and they're in the exact same situation. Then, they clearly haven't grown up, they haven't sorted their life out, and that's not acceptable anymore because they're not a young adult, they're an adult. But they're basically like a baby adult, and you don't really like 30-year-old babies. It's just not good for the world at all. So when it again like that, it's noticeable, but it's not always going to be like that. It's not always going to be noticeable. It's not a bad thing either. It's not. I'm not saying that everyone should learn from everything they do and they should be super smart in all aspects of life, because that's just a whole load of naivety there. But when you can notice it, going back to what Uncle Iroh said, with age comes wisdom, because as you age, you go through life and you go through experiences. Regardless of how sheltered you are or not, you're going to go through experiences. And it's sort of, again, when you take someone who goes through the same thing in 2 years as someone does in 10 years, they're both going to have the same knowledge, but one of them's going to be younger. But again, it's not a bad thing. It's just, sometimes people go through more or less as they go on through life, and it's when they get the knowledge from that, and they're able to use it, that's when it really becomes interesting. And you think, well, if someone has the same knowledge, if someone who's 30 has all this knowledge, and there's someone who's 60, and they have that same knowledge, it's like, well, that person who's 30, where are they going to be in 10, 20, 30 years' time? That's what I find really interesting, because you think, to have 60 years' worth of knowledge, say, yeah, it's like generally speaking, obviously everyone's different, but if you generally talk about those 60 years being confined into 30 years, that has the ability to then compile more knowledge onto that. It's like, well, what kind of person is that person going to be? Because the amount of value and everything they're going to be able to provide is going to be pretty amazing, potentially. So that's what that means. Yeah, you get wisdom with age because you go through life experiences and you learn from those, hopefully.
Important to draw wisdom from many different places. If you take it from only one place, it becomes rigid and stale.
Can you repeat what you said in a roundabout way? You don't need to try and you don't need to do it word for word, but
It's good to take wisdom from many different places. If you only take it from one place, it becomes rigid and stale.
go outside and go to other places rather than just the one place you live at. Traveling is the best way to do that because you see various areas of the world and different kinds of people. However, it doesn't need, if you're unable to travel, then obviously that's okay, but it's like, yeah, if you stay confined to one place, even if it's a city, even if it's the biggest city in the world, there's only so much you can gain from that place. If you go to a city and one village, village life will teach you many things that a city life wouldn't teach you. And say, and different villages will teach you different things, and different towns will teach you different things. So it's, to really gain more knowledge, you can't expect to be able to learn everything sat in one place. Because again, it's the experiences, and you can only experience so much sitting in one place. Even if it's like the tallest place in the world and you can see so much, you can only experience so much. You have to move to a different location to experience more. Because as you go through those experiences in different places, you face different problems and have to approach them in different ways. Say if, I don't know, What's a good example? Okay, take a simple one like crossing the road. You live in a village and you need to cross the road. It's not very busy. You look left, you look right. If the road is clear, you cross the road. In a city, it becomes much more difficult because the roads are much busier. It's very unlikely that you're going to get a gap. So it's like, okay, well, I'm confronted with this problem that I want to get to the other side, but there's just no opening for me. There's no way I can do this. So it's like, okay, well, we're at a crossroads and there's traffic lights. You either wait for the traffic lights to be red so you're able to cross, or you use the crossing where you can push the button where it'll stop everything and allow you to cross. But it's like, you know, as simple as that is, it's taking the exact same problem but putting you in a different scenario. You still want to get to the other side, but both scenarios are very different. But you won't be able to experience that unless you go to that situation. And you can be taught it, of course. You can say, you know, if you're at a crossing and it's really busy, you know, use it in a way that allows you to cross. But it's like, okay, well, you get that. But until you put it into practice, you can't experience it. Because, you know, if it's your first time doing it, your first time doing anything, you're going to feel anxious and nervous about it. It's like, well, you don't know how long you're going to be waiting, you don't know anything, you don't know if they're actually going to stop, or, you know, if you're going to put your life in danger, that kind of stuff. You know, you can't learn that from a textbook or from someone telling you. You've got to go and experience it yourself. So you could read a whole book about the country of India and learn absolutely everything about India, but you won't fully understand it until you go there. So yeah, you have to get wisdom from different places. You don't have to go travel the world just to learn everything. You know, you can learn in a confined place, like one country, say, but it's like, you know, if you really truly want to learn more and get more wisdom from different areas, you've got to go out there. And the further you can go, venture from the safety from your home. Okay, it's like the whole Hobbit thing, you know. You have the Hobbit who lives in the Shire, and that's, you know, that sanctuary, and that's really safe, and, you know, they know their things. You know, some of them wiser than others, and all that kind of stuff. To learn and understand the greater parts of the world, you know, you've got to actually go on the adventure and leave the safety of the Shire to then go and explore and really experience what's out there. People can tell you what's out there, but until you experience it, you don't know it or how to confront it yourself. So yeah, gain more wisdom by going to more places than just one or two or wherever.
This city is a prison. I don't want to make a life
here. Life happens wherever you are, whether you make it or not.
Life happens wherever you are, whether you make it or not.
Similar to the last point, wasn't it?
Yeah, very similar to the last point, and I can definitely apply that to my own life. Okay, so I live in a very quiet village, and it's always really quiet, and I was in my room quite a lot, and I sat on my computer playing games a lot of the time, or speaking with friends online and such. And I always knew Tatley to be a nice, quiet little village. You'd go out and you'd see people, and it'd be a, you know, casual hello and all that kind of stuff, but, you know, it was just a typical sort of village. But that's because I only saw it from one light and only chose to see it from one light. I chose to sort of, you know, notice it as the quiet place it was. I never tried to see it in a different way. So, okay, so say if I didn't like confinement and I didn't like a quiet life, but only chose to see it as that, it's like, well, life is what you make it. So it's like, okay, well, I want to be. So say I don't want it to be as quiet anymore. I want to, you know, go out and have fun and see people. Like, well, okay, I've got the pub down the road, so I'll go down there because, you know, people go and socialise at the pub, so it's more than just quiet. You know, people are going to be talking. It's going to be an atmosphere and all that kind of stuff. So I went down the pub and I found out that Tapley, my village, can be very lively and very excitable and enjoyable, not in a crazy kind of way, but definitely more than just the quiet village that I thought it was. So that meant, you know, I wasn't looking. It was like, you know, I had my back facing, I had my back to the pub, and I was looking to the quietness of the rest of the village, and I chose to ignore what was behind me. I chose to ignore the fact that there could be a possibility of there being more than just that. And it wasn't until I turned around and allowed myself to look at the fact that there's the possibility of having more than just quietness that it then became that. and I was able to experience that. So, you know, that's not always possible, of course. But at the same time, if you're fed up of your life always being the same, if you're sat in bed every evening when you get home from work, you're fed up of life always being the same. Then you go to sleep and you wake up. You have your morning routine, you go to work, you get back. You're fed up that your day is just the same. You complain, you're resentful, you go to bed, and it goes on. Until you change, nothing else is going to change around you. If you truly want there to be a difference, you're going to have to do something different. That's as simple as it is. You know, regardless of whether you want to or not, you're going to have to. Yeah, you can't really expect there to be anything different if you're going to do the same thing. So, life is what you make of it. If it's really impossible, if you live in like a hamlet where there's no life whatsoever and people refuse to go out, and you really want to go out and do things, you know, then you're going to have to take a bigger step and go to somewhere else where it's busier. But again, it's like, you know, life is what you make of it. If you're in it, unable to do that, how can you make it more enjoyable for you? You know, don't think that because of your circumstances, that's who you are. It doesn't make you who you are. You can be whoever you want to be. Just sometimes it's a bit harder to get to where you want to be. But yeah, don't, just because of your circumstances doesn't mean it creates who you are. You are who you are. Yeah, I think that's all I have to say for that one.
Protection and power overrated. I think you are very wise to choose happiness.
What did he say for that one? Was it perfection?
I didn't get the first word,
You
I'm afraid.
overrated. Whether you make it or not,
Come on.
protection and power overrated.
Protection and power are overrated.
I think you are very wise to choose happiness.
I think you're very wise to choose happiness and love.
Yeah, happiness and love over power and
Perfection.
perfection. Perfection is actually a really big sign of insecurity. When you try and do something, if you try and make it absolutely perfect, it means you're insecure about it not being good enough. That's not always the case, obviously, but it's a very good sign that you don't have full confidence in what you're doing. Even, I mean, I know we all like things to look as nice as they can be, but if you're a perfectionist to the point that everything has to be perfect and everything has to be orderly, it's like, well, what are you really insecure about? Why don't you like there to be any small imperfections? Is it because you're too afraid of the chaos that it might present unto you? Yeah, and it's kind of, you can't really tell people that either. They refuse to believe that or listen to that. Someone says, "Yeah, I'm a perfectionist," and you try and say, "Well, why are you insecure?" They're not going to say that they're insecure. They just see it as they like to be like everything to be perfection, to be perfect. And I don't know if it's, you know, it might not be the case for everyone. I'm not saying that every perfectionist is very insecure. It's just a sign of, or it can be a sign of. And then power, of course, you know, it's the whole, people can sometimes link power to greed.
How corrupt and all of that.
Yeah, exactly. If you're trying to obtain power for the sake of having more, or it's because you want more people to like you, or you want more respect, or this or that. You know, it's more, you have more chance of getting things for the wrong reasons. So, you know, if you want the respect of everyone, so you want to feel powerful by having respect from everyone, it's not going to be the loyal respect that people naturally place in you. It's they're going to respect you out of either fear or just the fact that it's going to be easier for them if they do. So they'll show you the respect, but they won't feel it for you. So yeah, that they're more not natural positive feelings. Happiness and love, obviously, they definitely are. And you know, people think that happiness is something you find when you're older. And you know, especially when you're younger, if you go through any kind of issues, especially if you have mental health issues, they'll tell you it gets better when you're older in terms of your mental health. Like whatever you're going through is going to pass and you're going to get better. But they put a light on it in a way that it's going to be less likely for you to be depressed or anxious or whatever when you're older. And that's not the case. You know, because it's entirely possible to be depressed and anxious when you're older. And when you go through life, life gets more complicated, so the things are harder to deal with. So to pursue happiness doesn't mean you're going to have to wait for a certain opportunity to come along and that will make you happy. It's not going to be, you're going to be miserable up to a point where you then got the perfect job, the perfect partner, or as perfect as one can be, living in a house, family or not, you know, whatever. It doesn't work like that. Happiness is a lot deeper than that and a lot bigger than that, and it starts with you. Talking a lot about appreciation. When you appreciate the small things in life, it amounts to a bigger thing, and you can appreciate more, and things have greater meaning. But you don't really notice that until you really generally appreciate more, and it has the effect. It's something that I've noticed recently. You know, I look and I see the world in a very beautiful light. And I know it can show its ugly face sometimes, and we all can, but I see it. You know, some people see it as the world as a very miserable place. But it's like when you appreciate the small things, when you appreciate being able to see your friends, when you appreciate the people that say hello to you, when you appreciate the weather being nice, or when you appreciate the things that you have, you appreciate your parents, you appreciate your family, you appreciate the people that listen to you, that talk to you, that employ you, that feed you, that where your water comes from. You know, the fact that you can have a meal, the fact that you can have food that you actually enjoy, that you can choose your food, that you can choose what you drink, that you have so much choice. When you can really appreciate things like that, the world becomes a really nice place, because you see how much it has to offer, because everything links into the bigger picture. And it creates a lot of order as well, because you notice more, because you're paying attention. And you see things the way that you want them to, that you want to see them. You know, sometimes you come across a problem as kind of like, well, you then become resentful to that problem. It's like, well, you know, things were going so well, why did this happen? You know, why did life decide to throw this at me? Or you can look at it as a, you know, things can't always be perfect, and there's always going to be problems. Some are going to be really difficult, some are going to be not as bad. But what can you do to then either resolve them or deal with them, in a way that's going to help you move forward? Because if you have a problem, then you just end up being bitter and resentful about it. You know, you're not going to learn much from it. But if you approach it in a way that helps you, and that you're able to learn from it and be better off for it, and you see it as a positive thing, you know it's going to be really difficult, but you know that in the end, when you come out the other side, you're going to be a different, much better person. It won't make the problem easier, of course. It's not going to mean that it's going to be a breeze, and you're not going to feel any pain from it. It just means that, you know, it's not all bad. It's not just a problem that's really going to upset you, and you're going to be upset for ages, and, you know, it's something that you can't deal with. And it seems, you know, like there's no end to it, and all that kind of stuff. It gives it a whole new light. And then you can even appreciate your problems to a certain extent. You don't, you know, naturally feel happy about them, but you can appreciate what you go through to then learn to be a better person. Especially if you know who you want to be. If you know what you want to be in terms of a better person, and you see some of your flaws now, and you're like, I wish I was kinder to people, or I wish I lied less, or I wish I showed people more respect, kind of things like that, that you don't naturally do, and you know you've got to put effort into doing it. And then you go through something that sort of teaches you how to do that. It's like, well, people stop talking to you because you're not respectful. It's like, well, okay, well, I've got to learn how to be respectful, because I want to talk to those people. And then you're forced to actually really learn how to be respectful. So you're grateful for the trouble that you went through. You're grateful for the fact that people stopped talking to you, so you could then actually learn to be the person you wanted to be. You have to really, you know, look at it like that and show yourself that in that kind of way, because it doesn't really happen naturally. You've got to make a conscious effort, and that's quite difficult. So when you choose how you can make your life better, and to then make other people's life better. How can I be a better person so my friends and even my enemies see me as a better person and we get on better? That's choosing happiness over power. Because you're not saying, I'm this resentful person, how can I get them to like me? How can I manipulate them to like me? It's, what can I do for myself that benefits myself and benefits others? And then because you are naturally then better, it's more truthful rather than sort of this lie that you're telling yourself and other people. So I guess it's almost saying, you know, strive for the truth as well. It can be very hard to tell the truth sometimes, but you know, it's yeah, I could say a lot more on that, but that's very much deviating from everything this, so yeah.
What are you doing?
I'm mugging you!
Yes?
What? What are you talking about? Just give me your money, old man!
Poor stance. You are unbalanced, and you can be easily knocked over.
Then he proceeds to floor him. For context.
Yeah, okay, so this young guy tried to mug an old man. He had a knife and he was stood awkwardly.
Very awkwardly.
Very awkwardly, and he was trying to threaten him. And he was like, well, if you stand like that and try and mug me, I'm just going to throw you over because, you know, you're not stood right for the situation. Then he did proceed to then throw him over. So it's like, don't amble foolishly into a situation that you're not properly prepared for. Sometimes
I see it in a slightly different way.
What do you see
it as? I see it as, because it was basing off with that, he basically questioned, with that stance, are you really going to try it?
Yeah.
I think it's trying to show that before you, like, do anything, do a new venture or whatever,
yeah,
you've got to get your base right. You've got to
stay
grounded no matter what you do.
Yeah. So I'll link those two points together.
Sorry, I kind of interrupted you.
No, that's
you
fine,
there.
That's fine. Your input is definitely more than welcome. Yeah, so I'll link those together because I kind of mean very similar, if not the same thing. You need to have your base right and lay the foundations. So linking that to my point in don't go ill prepared into something. Well, sometimes you can because, you know, you're not going to be great at everything you try for the first time. But at the same time, especially if the task is going to be a big task or the thing you're facing is going to be big, you know, you've got to make sure you've got enough knowledge to at least attempt it in a way that it's not going to, you know, knock you out. Whether it's a life problem or whether it's, you know, something at work or talking to a friend. You know, sometimes you've got to really be careful and actually give thought to how you're going to do it. So you can lay your foundations and you can make sure you're standing right. So when the problem or whatever then you decide to face then comes for you, you're able, even if it does smack you around a bit, you're able to at least stand up for yourself and you won't get smacked straight down to the floor in a way that means you won't be able to get back up very easily. So there are lots of ways to do. So starting something new is very difficult because you have no idea what you're doing most of the time and it's probably going to be rubbish, and that's fine. Sometimes, you know, okay, so doing this is the first episode of this podcast, and it's not going to be great. But that's okay because, you know, I'm just sat here and I'm just talking, and that's, at the moment for me, that's all there is to it. And I could do this by myself. I could, you know, read through something and then, you know, analyse it. But to make this easier, I have Cameron here to sort of help me with that. So it's like, okay, well, to make sure to reduce my nervousness and to make it generally better flowing and all that kind of stuff, you know, he's here to help that. So my base right now is really stable because we have a system of, you know, playing the video, hearing the quote, him repeating it, or, you know, describing it, and then me analysing it. So because we've got that foundational structure that makes it solid, it makes the rest of the process easier. Even if it doesn't make it perfect, it doesn't need to make it perfect or make it even really good. It just needs to be a start in the right direction. So you have something then to build on. You know, because it's not, you don't lay, if you lay crappy foundations and build a shed, then you're okay. It's going to fall down in the end, but it's okay. But if you have plans to build something bigger, the better your foundations are, the more that building will withstand. So yeah, you, although when you start things, it's, or when you approach things or go into something, sometimes it might not be great, but that's fine. But make sure you're as prepared as possible. But at the same time, don't try and spend too long trying to prepare for it. If you're going to make a podcast or a video, okay, if you're going to make a podcast, we'll just stick with that because it's easy. Don't read so much into how you're going to do it that it becomes a distraction and a delay to what you're actually going to do. Okay, so you need to know how to do a podcast. Okay, so you need to know how to record. You need to know where you're going to post it, and if you're going to edit it, how to edit it. But again, we'll just keep it simple, and we're going to go, okay, so you're going to record you saying whatever you're going to say or talk about, and then you're going to post it. You're going to just need to know what you're going to use to record and what you're going to talk about, and then probably the ability to talk to a certain degree. You know, make sure you don't talk too fast, or, you know, make sure that people can understand you, don't mumble too much, you know, and that's it. If you go into the factor of, you know, what's the best software to use, how do you really pronounce your words, what's the best topic to talk about, and, you know, what specific things should you say, and then you try and write a script on what you should say rather than just bullet points or whatever else. You know, when you really try and really break it down, say it's becomes too unnecessary. You know, it's like saying, okay, to build this house you need foundations that are, I have no idea about foundations, so this is going to be quite difficult. Okay, but say if it needs to be like, I don't know, 10 meters into the ground, and that's the perfect amount. You don't need any more than that. That's all you need. So those 10 meters are going to be, you know, the what you're going to use, what you're going to talk about, whatever else, like the small things, the most necessary things. If you're like, well, I'm just going to play it safe and I'm going to go 20 meters into the ground, and then you add all the other things I just said, it's like, that's really not as necessary and you don't need that. So don't get so distracted by how you're going to start. You do just need to start sometimes, but at least make sure you have the correct base first, and that'll help. Yeah, I think that's everything.
A lot of talk for someone just falling over.
Do you want to add anything else to that?
No, I think you kind of said all. You have a habit of saying all the things which I want to say, so it makes my life easier.
You must let go of your feelings of shame if you want your anger to go away.
But I don't feel any shame at all. As ever.
Zuko, pride is not the opposite of shame, but its source. True humility is the only antidote to shame.
That's a big one.
That's a long one.
That's a long one.
Do you want me to repeat it?
No, well, okay, go back to the beginning and,
Go of your feelings of shame if you want
That's
your
fine.
Anger to
Let go of your feelings of shame if you want your
anger to go away.
Want your anger to go away. Oh, okay, so it's hard to let go of feelings. It's very easy to keep them inside you. But sometimes when you go through a situation and they present loads of issues and loads of different feelings, sometimes you don't have to solve every single one, you just have to solve like the big domino that knocks it all away. So if you're either ashamed of what you've done or you don't feel 100% with what you've done and what you're doing, Have you seen? Do you know where this part comes from? Because it'd be easier with the context of
I'm
that.
I'm afraid I'm. Okay. It's been a while. I can't remember the context.
That's fine.
I think. Oh no, I do remember this. He's trying to learn a new skill, but he can't get it, and he's annoyed because he thinks he's the best,
okay.
But he can't get it first time, and that annoys him.
Okay.
And he's like, I think it's a case of he feels shame for not.
Being able to
do it, and therefore that breeds anger.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think Iroh goes on to talk about have humility, know that you're not the best at everything first time.
Yeah, okay.
I think that's context.
Yeah. So that, no, that either way, that's definitely good enough to work with. And you can approach that with anything. It doesn't have to be doing something for the first time. It's just if you have expectations of yourself, like when you do a test, for example, if you get really angry and you start blaming either the teacher or yourself or whatever you want to blame it on for if you don't pass it, you know, the underlying fact is that you're ashamed in yourself for not doing it. If you thought you were smart enough to pass and then you didn't, or smart enough to get top marks and you didn't. You know, if you're ashamed at yourself, even if you don't see it that way and you don't really notice it, you know, you've got to tell yourself that it's all right. You know, even if you think, even if you've got every reason to believe you're really smart and you think you should get top marks or get the highest sort of grade, and then you don't, you show yourself that that's okay, because it is, in a way that you know you can learn, go back and practice what you need to get good at, and do all of that. It's more, you know, take it more as a lesson rather than a fact that you're not good enough. Then your issues of anger as to why aren't I good enough, you know, have I not been taught this correctly and all that kind of stuff, that then subsides because the underlying problem of you thinking that you should be good enough regardless basically goes away. Again, that takes a lot of, you know, time and effort to do that, but you know, it's you've got to realize that there's nothing wrong, no matter how good of, even if you're like the best car salesman in the world and you sell Lambos and Royces and all those kind of things, and then, you know, you spend a day at a car dealership that's, you know, just, you know, off the side, and you can sell any car to anyone, and then you try and sell this one standard car to this guy and he doesn't take it, and you think, well, why the hell not, you know, I can sell any car to anyone and I can't sell this standard car to this one standard guy. It's like, you shouldn't be angry at that. You should see, well, what's different between these and all the other things and all the other people. You know, take it as a lesson rather than a fact that there's that one flaw that stops you from being perfect. Again, going back to the whole perfectionism thing, it's an insecurity. Yeah, so let go of your shame of that and really help yourself rather than not terrorize. What's that word? When you put yourself down. I don't know. But yeah, you know.
Patronize?
Yeah, I guess, yeah.
Self-patronizing?
Yeah.
Self-deprecating?
Yeah, that would be good, yeah, self-deprecating. I can't say that word. yeah, help yourself rather than doing that to yourself. So it can solve those the bigger problems that it builds on from.
Looking for an octopus, my nephew. You need a tightly woven net, or he will squeeze through the tiniest hole and escape.
Very specific.
It is very specific.
Specific.
Thank you. I guess that's almost saying, you know, make sure you're
prepared.
Yeah, prepared for the best way for a certain situation.
And also, I suppose, don't over or underestimate don't try and preemptively prepare for something because you might over or underestimate the situation.
Yeah, definitely.
So keep a neutral ground.
Yeah, yeah.
Go back to keep a grounded base, foundation.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, that basically covers it. Because that's all it is, you know. You can't be fully prepared for every situation you come across in life. But if you're going to go out purposely to face a problem, make sure you're as prepared as can be for that. Especially when you know, okay, so taking this example, he's going to catch an octopus. He knows a lot about octopuses. He knows where to catch them, what to catch them with, you know, what they're like, what they can do and all this kind of stuff. So he knows so much about the problem that he can create the perfect way to catch one. He knows what they can and can't do, you know, and all that kind of stuff. So if you really know a problem, make sure you prepare for it the best way and don't let anything try and slip. Be like, well, this has a possibility of happening, but the possibility is low enough that I can just ignore it, because that's when the big problems spring from. So he's like, okay, so he's got his tools, but he's got one small hole in which the octopus can escape through. If he's naive enough to be like, well, I'm just going to assume that, the possibility of that is of that happening is so low that I'm just going to ignore it. It's kind of like, well, you look a bit stupid when it does happen. So make sure you really pay attention to the small things, when you can. The small things can often lead to the big things. Yeah, that's a pretty straightforward one, I think.
You with a fascinating stranger is one of life's true delights.
Don't be afraid to talk to new people.
Don't be afraid to talk to new people. Listen to what people have to say.
You never know, you might have something in common, like a love for tea, for
Yeah.
instance.
And always assume the person you're talking to knows something that you don't. That's a quote from Jordan Peterson. But yeah, it's when two people who don't know each other stumble across each other and they sit down and drink tea or drink whatever they're drinking together and they have a conversation. Because it's not just going to be small t it doesn't have to be small talk. It's not going to be hi, how are you? What do you do, blah blah blah. It might be that, but it's kind of like you don't know where that conversation's going to go. You don't know their experiences, they don't know yours. So it's in those random conversations with a random person that you can sometimes share that lead to great opportunities. Or at least you hear of their experiences that you then yourself can learn from and use yourself in whatever way you choose to use it. Which again is it doesn't always happen, it's not everyone you're going to talk to is going to be great and help you with whatever, but you never really know who you're talking to. So it's in those moments where you can appreciate another human being's company, engage in a meaningful conversation, learn something from that conversation. And apply it to your own life in some way if you're able to. That's such a small thing because it's a small thing because the conversation can last anywhere between 5 minutes to half an hour to an hour or onwards. But say it lasts no more than half an hour. Half an hour of your time with a random stranger that can lead to so much. It's a small thing that has a big impact. You should never underestimate that. You never know who you're talking to. You never know what they can do for you. They could become such a big part of your life you won't even know it. Yeah, so that's all. What I've got to say about that. Play the rest of that one.
You kids, the window won't be the only thing that's broken. Not this time.
In context, they kind of broke some guy's window. He threatened them.
And he was a pretty big looking guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, so the first part of that quote was, what was
I
yeah, there.
it's like accept mistakes when they happen.
Yeah, so admit when mistakes occur and then try and restore honor. So when you mess up in life and you say, okay, put your hands up and you say, yeah, okay, that's me, I did that. Rather than trying running from it and hiding from it, because you're only going to find discomfort when you try and find comfort by running from it, but you'll find comfort in the truth. As hard as that may be.
But it's also okay in some situations to run.
No, it's that
Well,
part.
if
It's not running from it. It's saying, okay,
I can't
so
resolve this kind of thing.
if there's an issue that you've caused and you can solve it, you should try and do that by telling the truth, being honest, and working with the right people to, go through that. When there's a problem so big that wasn't really, it's not that it wasn't caused by you, but it's sort of more difficult. that you can't solve it, then the only thing you can do at that point is then to tell the truth. So in this instance, the kids broke the window, and then they got threatened, so they run away. Like, the problem is much bigger because although they broke the window, they themselves can't fix that. They can only own up to and be like, yes, I did that, and then apologize. So although in this one where they all ran from the problem kind of thing, it was more they couldn't fix the problem themselves, but it was known that they were the ones who caused the problem. So sometimes problems are so big that you don't really know how to solve them or don't know what to do to solve them, that the only thing you can possibly do is just to tell the truth. That's why that last bit was important. Because it's not saying that sometimes problems are so big that you should run away. It's more sometimes problems are so big that you can't solve them there and then. You just have to be truthful as best as you can be to not then go and cause other problems further on down the line or to make the current problem bigger. That's, yeah.
People see me and think I'm weak. They want to take care of me. But I can take care of myself by myself.
Like my nephew, always thinking you need to do things on your own without anyone's support. There is nothing wrong with letting people who love you help you. Not that I love you, I just met you.
I think that kind of speaks for itself, doesn't it?
It does in every way. But it's also a case of just because you are, even if there's a task easy, okay, so even if you're carrying a load from A to B, you can do that very easily by yourself. But if someone offers to help you, just because you can do it by yourself doesn't mean it won't make it easier. So, first of all, it would help you, distribute the load so it's not as heavy for you, even if it's something really light. At the same time, it will save time because, it's double the work manpower kind of thing. Sometimes people don't offer help because they don't think you can do it. They offer help because they know it would make it easier for you, regardless of what it is. And when problems are bigger and you're in a situation that's personal to you and you don't really see, you don't really want people to get involved because it's just for you to sort of deal with. That doesn't mean people can't help you in some way, whether it's you talking to them or, a gesture like a cuddle or something, just to sort of help like that. Just because sometimes, just because they can't solve your problems for you doesn't mean they can't help you. Sometimes they're not offering to help solve your problems, they're just offering their. They can help solve them indirectly by asking you the right questions that you answer yourself that then helps you solve your own problems. They help you become a problem solver. They don't solve your problems for you. So never be afraid to ask for help.
Stomach is the source of energy in your body. It is called the Sea of Chi.
Is that all of that one?
And then he goes on to make a fat joke about himself.
Oh gosh, okay.
I think this is kind of talking about, probably not in the right context, but out of context, it's
Yeah.
kind of sort of like listen to your gut feeling, because quite often it knows what's right.
Oh, that's perfect, Cameron. Thank you. Yeah. So as you're going through life, there are things. Okay, so you have your inner dialect, which is usually your second voice, and sometimes you're doing something, you're about to do something, your head goes,
Nope.
"Don't do that," and you very often go, "I'll do it anyway." And that's sort of just your head saying that. But when your gut gives you a feeling of you really shouldn't be, it's a feeling, it's an emotion, it's not just a thought, it's a whole emotion, your whole sort of emotional state changes. So when you do that, and you go through that, yeah, listen to your gut in those moments because that knows what's right. Sometimes even if you can distinguish between right and wrong, you choose to do wrong anyway. You don't always choose wrong for malicious intentions. You choose wrong because you know that it's gonna be good or fun in some way or whatever, and you know that you can just sort of, get away with it, let sleeping dogs lie, and it's not gonna affect other people if you don't let it kind of thing. But when your gut says this is not something you should do, Or if it's the opposite, you know, sometimes it says, you know, you should really go for it. You know, when you're starting something new and you feel scared, that's sometimes something you should definitely go for. But yeah, listen to your gut. Try and really listen to it because it will tell you. And you can do it with yourself as well, you know, ask yourself a question and you'll probably tell yourself the answer in one form or another. Do that with the whole, you can do that with order and chaos. Even if you have the most pristine room in the world, if you ask yourself the rhetorical question of, how can I make this better? You will look around and you will notice everything you could possibly do just to make it that much neater or that much tidier. I mean, my room's quite a mess right now, so there's lots of place where I can start. But if I had just finished cleaning my room and then I asked myself that question, it would be small things like, are the wires tucked away properly? If I picked everything up off the floor, are my shoes together in a nice place? You know, things like that, small things like that. But you know, when you ask yourself those questions, you will tell yourself answers that you're looking for most of the time, if not all of the time. But when your gut really speaks to you, bloody well listen. Both good or bad, bloody listen to it.
Stirring up trouble. We could lose all the good things that are happening for us.
Good things that are happening for you. Have you ever thought that I want more from life than a nice apartment and a job serving tea?
There's nothing wrong with a life of peace and prosperity. I suggest you think about what it is that you want from your life and why.
I want my destiny.
Yeah, so
much on this
that's
one, I'm
fine. That's fine. That's fine.
afraid.
So first of all, he thinks the grass is green on the other side. He thinks he should be living in a better place, having a better job, and his destiny is something of a greater thing. He's not humbled by what he's currently experiencing. He doesn't take, you know, the fact that he's got a life of peace and prosperity right now, he doesn't see that as a good thing because it's like, well, so what? Life's quiet. It should be more than this. Sorry, can we listen to it again?
Happening, you start stirring up trouble. We could lose all the good things that are happening for us.
Good things that are happening for you. Have you ever thought that I want more from life than a nice apartment and a job serving tea?
There's nothing wrong with a life of peace and prosperity. I suggest you think about what it is that you want from your life.
Okay, so yeah, sorry, several things from that. So that can sometimes come from impatience as well. If you're doing something for the long term game, finance is a huge one for this. Unless you win the lottery, there is no quick, easy money making scheme. It's whatever it's going to do, it's going to take time. To get a large amount of money, to be financially stable, it's going to take time. So sometimes you have to be patient in the grander scheme of things and appreciate what you have now and just carry on working towards what you want. So then he goes on to say maybe you should work on what you want, you know, look at what you want. Do you know what you want? If you're so bitter and resentful and you're not happy with your life, do you know what you want anyway to then improve it? If you really hate the job you're doing, do you know what job you would prefer to have or what you'd prefer to do with your time in terms of, you know, so. You work in a coffee shop and you hate it. What do you really enjoy that you'd rather do instead? Because in this day and age, you can have a job in practically anything. And if there's not a job that exists, you can make a job that exists. So, do you know what you want? You don't have to know what you want because that's a very big thing. But it could be something small like, I would like to impact people's lives for the better. It's like, well, could you do something once a week? Or, you know, in that kind of way. That then helps once a month, donate to charity. I have no money, I'm not able to. Okay, once a week, do a video, put a post on Facebook, post somewhere on social media, you know, a bit of advice for people. You scroll through your social media and you'll see a lot of comments and a lot of things and a lot of posts about how the world is wrong and the things that people are going through. Take the huge one of during exam period when people are very stressed. That's what the hot topic is going to be. So during that time, you can just give one tip how to deal with stress. Or you can do 5 tips like for every day for a week. You know, that's free. That's something you can do for free. And it's providing value for people's lives and it's going to help you. Okay, it's not going to get you out of your job, but it'll start opening doors for you where you can really see how you can impact people's lives and you can see ways that you can help people that you've never helped them before. So try and find out what you want. It doesn't have to be specific. I don't want to, it's not a, you have to specifically know exactly what job you want, in what industry, what company you want to work at, who exactly you want to work for, and stuff like that. It's just more what do you want from life itself. You want the world to be a better place? Yes. Well, okay. How can you do that? I don't have enough money to start a huge company that does XYZ. I don't know how to create an invention that, you know, gets rid of whatever plastic. Okay, like, okay, this bottle of ketchup, that's plastic. I don't know what I can invent to replace the plastic so, you know, people can still have quite ketchup in a good manner. Okay, fine, you don't need to be able to do that. When you go outside today, can you at least pick 5 pieces of plastic up on the floor and put them in the bin or, you know, recycle them? Because that's a small thing that's going to make a big difference. Small things like that, don't think that you have to change the world in order to do good. You know, just do small things that you can do, regardless of how small and meaningless they seem to be, they have great meaning. Don't underestimate that. Do you know what you want from life? Maybe you should sit down and have that conversation with yourself.
I know what you're gonna say. She's my sister and I should be trying to get along with her.
No. She's crazy and she needs to go down.
Okay, so sometimes there are situations where you think,
is this the right thing to do? Or is this the wrong thing to do?
Yeah, sometimes you have to make a really hard decision between what's right and what's wrong.
I suppose it goes back to the gut talk, isn't it?
Yeah. So it's like, well, okay, well, every reason says that I should or should not do this. Okay, okay, let's take should do, I should do this. But it's like, well, no, because if, okay, consequences of things. When you're deciding whether you should do or do something or not, you should write down the pros and cons of doing it. You should then also write down the pros and cons of not doing it. So you can see the consequences of what would happen if you don't do whatever you're going to do. So, because sometimes, you know, it's kind of like, okay, so take that guy's sister. I take it she's like crazy or something.
Yes, completely insane.
Yeah, okay, so it's like, well, they're family. They should get on. They should try and help one another. It's like, okay, so the pros of doing that, you know, they got along better. The relationship is better. There could be order created. The cons of trying to get along with her is kind of like, well,
she'll steer you down the dark path.
Yeah, steer you down the dark path. You know, you might not be able to save her. That kind of thing.
I just want to clarify, crazy, insane, as in evil, not as in
mentally.
Yeah,
okay. And the pros and cons of not doing that. The pros of not doing that means you're able to defeat her if you need to, you know, fight her kind of thing. The cons of not trying to get along with her is she could see you as rejecting her, so she then, you know, goes crazy kind of thing. But, you know, the fact that the underlying problem is pros of not helping her and not getting along with her means that you're able to save other people's lives that she might be endangering. Even if in a certain case someone's life is not technically, you know, physically in danger, but their mental state and their order in their world is at stake. That's a thing. So it's kind of like, you know, sometimes the situation is so, it's not as black and white as it should be. So it's kind of like, well, you have to work out what the best option is. And I suggest doing the pros and cons of doing it. Pros and cons of not doing it is a good place to start. That really outlines a good answer for you. But yeah, so that's quite extreme because it's his sister. So that's family that you feel like you should get along with. So it's quite compelling because you're really in a sort of moral ground as to what you should or shouldn't do. It's like, okay, if you have a family member that you're supposed to love and care for, but they're killing people and going around causing mayhem, you know, you're morally obligated to help them at the same time. You should, if you know something to be so bad that it's impacting the people's lives, that one thing should be stopped. Yeah.
Sometimes life is like this dark tunnel. You can't always see the light at the end of the tunnel. But if you just keep moving, you will come to a better place.
There's always light at the end of the tunnel, basically.
Yeah, definitely. Just because you've been walking down a dark tunnel, even if it's for years, and you can't see the light, doesn't mean it's not there. You've just got to trust the process sometimes, even if it's really difficult. It's that whole thing, you know, when you see that person digging underground, and they find a piece of gold, and they carry on going, and they're like, I haven't got any more. Or the other person, like, you know, they don't find anything, and then they turn around, but they've got, like, one pickaxe away from finding the whole treasure load kind of thing. You never know how close you are. And, you know, sometimes when even if you question, you know, what's the point of everything, you haven't experienced what the point is yet. It doesn't mean it doesn't exist. You know, give yourself meaning.
And also,
find meaning in what you're doing.
And also, going off of that, if you, like, feel, like you said, what's the point in it all, and you feel like giving up, a good thing to sort of keep you going is remember why you started in the first place.
Yes, that's a big one. Having a why. Nietzsche said, he who has a why can bear any how. Yeah.
Some tea while you wait. This tea is nothing more than hot leaf juice.
Uncle, that's what all tea is.
How could a member of my own family say something so horrible?
Forgive me, I don't know the context of this.
That's fine. Okay. Okay, so you take it as he says all tea is just leaves with hot water or hot juice or whatever kind of thing. And all tea is that. You have a tea bag and you put it with hot water. No matter what tea it is, that's the principle of it. You might have the same tea every day and then one day you have a cup of exactly the same tea but it tastes different and you don't like it. Well, what's changed? You can say that when you have, when you go through problems or situations, you go always go through the same. Okay, so you have a problem and you're trying to solve it and you can't solve it no matter what you do. Then one day you suddenly look at it and you literally just tilt your head and you're like, oh, okay, you do this. And you do that one thing that's really easy and you solve the problem that's been bugging you for so ever long.
And it just clicks.
Yeah. So sometimes it's your perceptional thing that changes. If you can't solve the problem, look at it from a different angle. That's all I can take from this. I don't really know if there's anything else to it, but
I think that's it.
Yeah, I think that's what you can really.
What are you doing here?
I was just about to ask you the same thing. What do you plan to do now that you found the avatar's bike? Keep it locked in our new apartment? Should I go put on a pot of tea for him?
First, I have to get it out of here.
And then what? You never think these things through. This is exactly what happened when you captured the Avatar at the North Pole. You had him, and then you had nowhere to go.
I would have figured something out.
No! If his friends hadn't found you, you would have frozen to death.
I know my own destiny, Uncle.
Is it your own destiny, or is it a destiny someone else has tried to force on you?
Have a plan of what's going to happen.
Well, don't be so stupid that you think that when you're doing something huge that you're just going to figure it out. Because a lot of the times you can just figure it out. But okay, going back to a whole school thing. If you're at university and you're 1 month away from starting your exams and you're failing everything, you know, you've gone that far and then you decide that in that last month you're going to come up with some amazing plan that means you're going to learn all the content enough to help you pass. It's like, well, no. That's pretty stupid. If you think you can bunk off and then suddenly come up with an amazing plan that's going to help you get flying colours, then you're damn wrong about that. You know, sometimes you have got to plan things out, especially when the problem demands it so. Or even if you don't come up with a plan, make sure you know what you're getting yourself into. Be fully aware and be extra careful. Take extra caution. Because sometimes life does throw problems at you that you've never dealt with before, and you don't really know how to accommodate for that. And it's at those moments where you can't plan for it. It just means you have to pay extra attention to what's going on and deal with it like so. Sometimes you can just wing things.
I was going to say a little counterintuitive, but in certain situations, there's nothing wrong with going with the flow and see what happens.
Yeah, definitely.
In my experience, at least, I'll admit I'm not the best at planning things.
Mm.
But I find if you go with the flow and, okay, prepare a little bit, but not too much that you back yourself into a corner.
Yeah.
I find that if you don't plan that much and go with the flow of it, it kind of becomes natural, whatever you're talking or doing.
Yeah, definitely.
Rather than essentially keeping to a script.
Yeah, definitely. Plus, it creates a lot of order as well. So if you're someone who really doesn't deal well with chaos, then you're going to need order in your life. So take the whole school thing. If there's... So you're taking the fact that you're going to pass, get your degree to then get a job. That's a plan. That's order. If you don't get the results you need, and you can't get the job you want, that's chaos, because all your plans go out the window. So if you then create a plan to counteract that chaos, okay, if I don't pass this exam, I'm going to do this course which enables me to get this job. That means that, you know, you reduce the chances of chaos, because at least if that plan doesn't work out, you've got that plan. That's why people say you should have a plan B. That's the sole reason. So you don't descend into chaos that you can't then solve, especially if you can't deal with chaos very well. However, when it comes to, you know, that you don't always have to have a plan B. But, you know, if you're someone who just doesn't deal with chaos very well, you know, it's definitely best to. Yeah, and especially if you do it often as well. If you keep getting yourself into situations that you don't plan for, and it gets you into very big trouble, or you can't deal with it very well, you really need to stop that, and you really need to start sitting down and having a plan for things. I think that's all you can really say about that, because it's different for everyone, and how you plan is very different. But it definitely creates a lot of order in your life. A huge amount of order, and that reduces anxiety because you're more certain and you understand things better. So planning creates order. Order is good. Yeah. And that's everything, yeah? That's the 15 things we've covered and spoken about in
5 minutes of video taking over an hour. Why am I not surprised?
Yeah. No, this was really fun though. This was good. I really like doing, I've never really done something like this before. It's actually very easy to break down quotes, because everything has a sort of hidden meaning. There are some films and things that are made that really have a good meaning to it. So I'd definitely like to do this again at some point soon.
You're welcome for showing you this and being like, we need to podcast.
Yeah, thank you very much. That's everything. Yeah, thank you. Hope you all enjoyed. Thank you.